Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Water. Without it, we cannot survive for more than 3 days. Throughout time, people have built their civilizations around water, along oceans, lakes, and rivers. And as this century heats up, it seems water is becoming ever more important. So when a river flows free and clean and carries with it the stories of the people who have lived along its shores, it is worthy of special note. We're heading for the Ozarks, where we'll be talking about a river so special, it has become a national river. When we return to the Wildside News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
There is something powerful about a healthy river. A good river is powerful. Ever try to swim against the current? A river has a vital life. It has seasons. It conjures up adventures, both good and challenging. I suppose Huck Finn's adventures crafted the great American river myth of freedom, equality, and the magnificence of the grand character in our American legacy. American rivers these days have many stories. Mostly we hear about them when they overspill their confinements, so often childishly fashioned by an idealized vision of progress. But time and nature teach us about the truth. We will only need to learn. Today, we visit a river so classic and pure, even to this day, that it has been declared a national river by the National Park Service. To help us explore this national treasure, we have as our guest the Chief of Interpretation of Buffalo National River, Doug Wilson. Doug, Buffalo National River, I'm sure in the minds of most of my listeners, will conjure up myriads of ideas of just where it is. It sounds as if it could be from Wyoming or Colorado. So let's set the stage here. Where do we go to visit Buffalo National River?
Well, you're right. Sometimes folks do think that it's other than Arkansas. Actually, New York has even been mentioned. But we are located in north central Arkansas. We are a 150-mile river. 135 miles of it is protected by the National Park Service as a national river. Easily reached through major highways coming into the state.
Well, it's a very unique thing, a national river. I certainly, most of us have heard of wild and scenic rivers and things, but what is it about? Why is this park a national river? That's just so different.
Well, actually, Buffalo National River is America's first national river. That title being turned or coined by the U.S. Congress in 1972 when they established this as America's first national river. There are some designations, some differences in the designation between the rivers that are protected by our national park system, but Buffalo turned out to be the first that got that title of national river.
Let's talk about some of the stats. How big is the park?
Well, the park is 95,720 acres that have been authorized. It's, as I mentioned, 135 miles long of the 150 miles of river.
And most people who come there are coming there for what purpose?
This is a really popular place for canoeing, for recreating on the river. It's a very forgiving river most of the time. If we're having a flood event, then it's like any river in flood stage, and it can have its dangers. But otherwise, it's a river that people can find a little bit of whitewater on. They can find flat, placid areas for lazy floating. It really is suited for families. Many people come and try their hand for the very first time to canoe on the Buffalo.
Well, people come to canoe, and I understand fishing is quite a popular activity there as well.
Yes, a lot of people throw a fishing line out the back of their canoe as they go down the river. You do need to have a state fishing license, but with that, armed with that, there are a number of species that folks angle for. We have over 60 species of fish in the river, but the ones that people look for in the way of game fish would be the largemouth bass, smallmouth bass. There are some other variety of rock bass. There are gar. There are some catfish. Those are the primary ones that folks fish for.
So people visiting, I know, can rent canoes from concessionaires as well as some John boats that get them out and kind of give them that experience of a John boat fishing trip.
That's correct. You can bring your own if you have it, and there are no permits that are required. So you can launch your canoe at any one of the many launch ramps. There's I think approximately 14 of them. But you can also, if you don't have your own canoe, you can rent them from the concessioners that operate up and down the river. We have approximately 14 canoe concessioners, and then 9 more that rent John boats.
When out camping, I think you have about 13 campsites, so that's pretty well taken care of, including some modernized campsites. But I guess you can also camp along the river. That sounds exciting.
That's correct. You can do backcountry camping along the river. You do need to bring your gear with you, and there are many, many gravel bars that can be found. Basically, at about every bend of the river, there will be a gravel bar, and you can camp there. We do ask that folks practice no-trace camping so that they don't leave any garbage or trash. They take that all out with them. But that's a very popular activity, particularly during the summer when the weather is much warmer.
Now, what's that experience like heading down the river? Explain what people would be likely to experience.
Oh, the river is very beautiful. If you were starting your trip in the upper portions of the river, which is the western end of the river, you would find very tall bluffs, cliffs that come right up to the edge of the water. Some of them is as high as 400 feet.
Wow!
And they're multicolored, primarily limestone, but there are some sandstone cliffs as well. But they're heavily forested, and they're punctuated with all types of flowers and season and all. As you travel down the river, you would encounter rapids, riffles, shoals, gravel bars. You would see lots and lots of wildlife, great blue herons. You might see beaver or river otter. They're fairly elusive, but they're out there. And then just a myriad of turtles on all the stumps and logs that are along the side of the river. The turtles will be out sunning themselves on a sunny day.
That sounds really sweet, actually, kind of a real American experience. Now, one of the features that's unique to Buffalo National River is the fact that you have lots and lots of caves.
Yes, we do. This area, it's not unique to this area because the Ozarks are predominantly composed of limestone, and limestone lends itself to caves. It's called a karst, K-A-R-S-T, topography, which basically means that it has caves. And our park has at least 340 known caves in it. One of those caves, Fenton Cave, is actually the largest cave in the state of Arkansas.
And that's something I'm sure a lot of people would be interested in doing. And in some cases, you really have to know what you're doing to visit the caves. And they can talk with you about getting some spelunking passes. You also have really an extraordinary cultural heritage there, going back literally thousands of years.
Yes, actually this area was occupied, inhabited by early Americans. As you say, many thousands of years. We have evidences of prehistoric life in this area that pretty much transcends the various eras that archaeologists assign to these groups of people, but we do have sites all up and down the river, and so there is a lot of information that has been gained and will probably be gained in the future.
And of course that's interpreted to a large degree in your interpretive centers, but also you have more current cultural remnants. Why don't you talk about some of the homesteads?
Right. We have the prehistoric history, but we also have historic era history here. Starting probably in the late 1820s, there started to become permanent residents in this area. What we believe is our oldest standing structure within the park dates back to the 1840s. And during that time, folks were moving from the east this way, looking for places to basically homestead and occupy new horizons for them. And as over the years, folks moved into this area and basically pioneered it.
An amazing all-purpose national river. I think that's just so amazing. Plus, you have some more current as well, 1920s homesteads that kind of bring things forward.
That's right. You can find a variety of homesteads in the park to visit. They're actually open to the public. They don't have furniture or that inside of them, but they're open and you can go through and look at them. So we have a homestead dating from the 1840s, but we also have one dating from the late 1920s, which would be one of the later examples of folks that came this way to utilize the Homestead Act, where they could find a piece of property and improve it and establish their home on it.
One thing I want to mention, too, as an artist and someone who has served as an artist in residency, and we don't have a lot of time left, but you also have an artist in residency program where artists can actually spend time on site. You provide them with a place to stay, and that, to me, is really exciting. You know, we've been talking with Doug Wilson. Doug, why don't you give us your website?
We can be found on the web at www.nps, like in National Park Service, .gov/BUSS for Buffalo.
Doug Wilson, Chief of Interpretation at Buffalo River National Park. Next week, Paul Ehrlich. This is Sydney Wildsmith saying adios from the Wild Side News.